Session number 17675, Sergeant Frederick White, reel 3.
Sergeant White, reel 3. You were saying that the RSM knew his business,
mm-hmm.
and that when you were approaching the age of 18, he'd start taking an interest in you. What would happen then when the RSM came round and started taking an interest?
Well, he himself then would give a demonstration of the different types of rifle drill, which you expect to learn, and then take you through it. And we probably only might be only just three or four boys there, so we'd take it individually. Also marching with the rifle. And later on, of course, they would then take you down to the ranges.
The RSM personally
and take you through for the shooting.
And he did this personally?
Yeah, did this personally.
How did you get on with arms drill? Did you find it easy? Did you take to it?
I took to it very well, matter of fact.
And what about shooting? Did you? How did you find the rifle as a?
I like the shooting and did very well at that as well.
When you went on the ranges, did you do a full course of musketry, or was it simply an introductory?
Well, probably just a start of it, an introductory. Although directly you've past the age of 18, and once a year, the whole battalion had to fire their course.
Well, this was just a classifier?
The classifier, yes. And this included the band as well.
When you were learning from the RSM to shoot, what sort of range were you shooting at? You know, over what distance?
Well, we start off at 100 yards, probably doing some snap shooting, and then we go back as far as 500 yards.
And what sort of targets were you shooting at?
Well, mostly the square targets with the ball in the middle.
So big canvas targets.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, was there a proper system of butts? And
so we had proper butts there and markers in the butts as well.
What and how did you classify when you did your first?
I came a first class shot.
Your first class shot?
Yes.
What do you think is the secret of being a good shot? Why are you a good shot? What makes it possible to shoot well?
I don't know how to answer that, really. Would you repeat what you actually said?
Yes, I'm saying what are the characteristics that make somebody a good shot? What qualities
at the start off with, you've got to stop being nervous, anything about it. You must be always cool and steady with it.
And is it all a matter of confidence?
You've got to be confident you're going to do it.
Where did you actually do the classification? Was that done at Bareilly?
At Bareilly, yes. There was proper shooting range there.
Was it inside the camp, or did you have to
go some
distance?
No, it's just a little bit outside. And incidentally, there was one other thing, that whenever you did any shooting, it all went into a big sand bank.
Yes.
After the shooting was over, you had to go down to this sandbank and with your hands dig out all the lead bullets, most of it could be found.
They were salvaging the
salvaging
ammunition.
It and stopping the Indians getting it as they would come along and dig it out.
So you did arms drill, you did rifle shooting, you've done map reading in your education course.
Yes.
Did you do any tactical training at this stage?
Not really. Although, when we went out on camping, the battalion used to go about once a year, miles away from the barracks, not a long route march, might be. One day might be two or three days, wherever the camp was, and he was under canvas then. Although we played them now to have instruments, we was then called on to do what we call skeleton enemy. We would have to have... there was about 40 of us there, and one man would probably represent 10 men. And the battalion would then would be put in some sort of detailed action what to take, and we was out in the wilds there trying to make trouble with them.
How did you do that?
Mostly keeping it out of sight and popping up now and again when they didn't expect us.
Did you have blank ammunition for these?
Yes.
Who actually controlled you when you were playing anime?
When we was playing...
When you were playing anime, who was in charge of you? Who controlled you?
Mostly the band sergeant. Oh. Yeah, he came out as well. The band master had nothing to do with that.
Mm. What sort of tactics were they practicing in those days? Do you remember if they were attacking you when you were playing enemy, how they would go about doing it?
Very basically, I should imagine that the we take it as a company was coming, that they would send out sort of scouts beforehand, and then the usually the main body used to then march behind them, probably by platoons, and then if we were then sighted, then they would with their own NCOs would make some sort of plan how to get at us, sort of thing.
What did they normally do when they put the plan into effect?
Well, there was a lot of calling around.
Yes.
That type of thing, and then in the end they would fix bayonets and charge us.
How far would they charge? What would be the sort of distance for a bayonet charge?
About 30 yards.
How did they get that close to you?
Well, when they was charging with bayonets, we just stopped it. We weren't going to stay there.
How did they get to within bayonet charge distance of you? How did they get up to within 30 yards?
Well, that was up to about 10 yards.
Yeah.
And although they're not supposed to do any damage, they might be all sort of getting in the swing of things. We quietly retreated.
But I mean, how would they get so close enough for the charge? How would they get that close to you?
Well, mostly by using dead ground if they could do, approaching us and calling along to us, and already got their scouts out in front.
And did they normally come directly at you, or would they go round one side or the other?
No, they try to get round at times as well. Yeah.
They try and flank you?
Yeah, they try to flank us, yes. Yeah.
I mean, did you dig positions for this sort of role-playing enemy, or were you just usually lying in the open?
Mostly in the open.
Yeah. Did you do any of this sort of thing at night?
No.
Just daytime exercises?
Not at this particular time, though later on there's something happened that we did do.
All right.
I'll come to that later.
What kind of weapons were they using? Did they use just the rifle, or did they have light machine gun as well?
No, at those times the light machine gun was unheard of.
So it was all rifle?
Just rifles. Battalion had machine guns, but we never got involved with their training there at all.
All right. Were these the Vickers guns?
Vickers, yes.
So you didn't have the Bren gun?
No, not at that time.
Not that time. Did the artillery ever come out and play games with you?
No.
They did their own training?
Yes. Mm. There was an infantry regiment on its own there.
Yeah. You were saying that when you were playing the skeleton anime, they would approach you. How far ahead of the platoons would the scouts get?
Up to 100 yards, in actual fact.
And what sort of formation would the platoons be in? Would they be in column of three, or would they be in some other formation?
Not in column of three, there was sort of split up in little groups. Three or four men.
Yeah, so there'd be half sections.
Yes.
Yeah. Would they be moving, would they be moving in line, or would they be in a file?
No, they would be... not all of them will be in one line. There'll be another line coming up behind them.
Ah, so you'd have them...
Yes.
In echelon back.
Echelon, yes.
Yeah. How fast would they move when they were doing this kind of attack? You know, have you got any idea of what sort of speed they'd be going at?
What, in the attack?
Yeah.
Not very quick. Mm. Not to the final bit. I mean, there would be very slow approaching, but in actual fact. Okay. Probably not knowing what the strength of the enemy is or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. How many scouts would they have out front?
Oh, about numbers? Not more than six.
So would they be working on their own or in pairs?
Mostly in pairs. Oh. Because we only went out on our company strength, not on a battalion strength with it.
Yeah, so you're doing it up to company level tactics.
Yes. Yeah.
And this happened once a year, this going out on manoeuvres. How long did that last, that
We was there nearly a month, about a month.
Right. And what sort of ground was it you were training over?
Again, around that, the United Provinces, around where the place is, it's very flat. Mm.
What about vegetation? Was there any vegetation there?
A small amount.
Doesn't sound like there'd be much cover.
No, cover was very bad. Well, I say they mostly slow approaching because of that, and crawling around to get in position.
Another thing you mentioned doing this time was being trained in stretcher bearing and first aid.
Yes, as bandsman, it only happened once a year, but you went with the medical officer, who then took you through first aid, how to put a splint on and things like that kind of thing, how to do bandaging. Moving people around on stretchers.
How did you practice that? Did you carry actual people around on a stretcher?
Yes, actual people. We did that.
That sounds like hard work.
It was hard work, yes.
What sort of distances would you be carrying?
Well, if you carry somebody on a stretcher with only two men carrying it, if you carry them 200 yards, it's quite going some.
What were the stretchers made of?
Canvas and poles.
You mentioned on the first aid you were taught how to bandage and you were taught how to put a splint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What other things were you learning from the medical officer?
Very little bar of that, in actual fact. We didn't deal with giving anybody any medicines or anything like that, or even giving injections.
So it's just bandaging and splint?
Yes, and how to bring wounded into the first aid post.
Was the medical officer working on his own, or did he have a section?
No, he worked on his own.
And you were his auxiliaries, effectively?
That's right, yes.
And what kind of wounds were you supposed to be learning to bandage?
They could be bullet wounds or shrapnel wounds, that type of thing. All different types of bandages we had to use for that type of thing.
Ah, what sorts of bandages did you have? Do you remember?
Well, you had these pads, which would go over a wound, and then that would be bandaged up for say, a shoulder or anything like that. Remember doing the splint of a broken leg, not even as a wound, it was the old, I think they still use it, Thompson splint, isn't it?
Yeah. What was that made of? Was that a wooden splint usually?
No, it was a big leather roll thing here, and with iron strips down there.
Like a pair of calipers.
Yes.
What was the idea of that? Just to hold the wound still?
And to if it's a broken leg, to try and keep the leg tensioned outwards so it stop the bone getting into the worst position, I think.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that after you were in Bareilly, and you also, I think, eventually moved to Razmak,
yes.
Northwest Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
How much warning did you have that you were going to be moving?
Oh, I think we knew 6 months beforehand we was going there. And consequently, before that, we did a lot more marching for fitness and physical training.
Did you find that your health in India was good? You know?
Yes.
You didn't suffer from any illnesses or anything?
No.
So you were getting yourself fitter for Northwest Frontier. How did you get there?
We went by train from Bareilly to a place called Banu. One of the hottest places in India, I think. And from there, we then marched to Razmak, a 6 days march. The band did not play on that. We went purely as ordinary riflemen.
What happened to your instruments?
The instruments were with the battalion baggage, and they was taken by motor transport. To Razmak.
I mean, did the battalion have motor transport at this stage, or organic to it, or did it have animal transport? Or
we had a few lorries. That was about all they had.
What sort of lorries were they? Were they sort of standard three tonner?
Yes, standard three tonner. Yes.
Mm. Were these lorries shipped out from England, or had they been made in India?
No, made in India.
Were they the same as the lorries?
Very much the same, yes.
Mm-hmm. So you had a few three-tonners, and the baggage went on that, and you had to march.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you were marching for 6 days.
Yes.
Yeah. What sort of distances were you covering day by day?
The distances wasn't all that much, because you're then going into hostile country.
Right.
And up through the mountains. And these Pathans, as they were in those occupying the Northwest Frontier at that time, took a delight just to shoot at you for the fun of it, I think. Yeah. And the only way to protect yourselves is that when you're marching there, is you had to send up patrols to every hilltop before you pass through it. And of course, this took time.
So you're picketing the heights.
Picketing the heights.
And you're moving along the valley or pass below. Right.
And then as we pass through, they would come down again. You probably didn't do more than about 12 to 15 miles. And then you got into a camp that had been used many, many times before, because there was a stone perimeter around it. In bad shape, because the Pathans would come down after you'd gone and knock it down. So you had to get in fairly early to rebuild it.
How high was the stone perimeter?
Hmm?
How high was the stone perimeter?
Breast high.
So it was like a barricade? Or
yes,
a breast
like wire. A barricade. Mm. That had to be completed before you did anything else that day.
Right. So what time of the morning would you start off? What time would you have reveille on such a marching day?
You start off quite early. Reveille at 6 o'clock. Right. And then
so have reveille, and then what happened next?
Well, you'd have breakfast such as it is,
right.
And then it probably wouldn't be till about 7:30 when you started marching.
So you'd get up, have your breakfast.
Uh-huh.
Were you sleeping in tents or in the open? Did you have tentage?
No, we were sleeping in the open.
You were? You had no tents?
Yes. We had no tents.
What were you sleeping in? Did you have a...
We just carried a blanket with us.
So you rolled up in a blanket?
Yeah.
And you slept on the ground?
Yes. We did do a type of thing with the ground sheets.
Yes.
We tried to make a bivvy out of it.
Yeah.
You had three ground sheets, one on the top, two down the sides.
Yes.
And one in there, and four men would squeeze into it.
So you improvised bivouac, and you're up at six. pack up, have breakfast, and then you'd be, said you'd be on the move by about 7:30.
Yeah.
Yeah. What time of day would you normally stop then to start making camp for the night?
About 3 o'clock.
Right, so you'd be marching. Well, if you started marching at 7:30, that would mean you'd have been marching. You'd be marching about 6 or 7 hours, wouldn't you, by that time?
Yes. Yeah. But there was a lot of stopping at it.
A lot of stopping.
Sending up these pickets and pulling them down again.
Did you ever go up on one of the pickets?
No, I didn't go up.
How high were the heights that they had to get up onto?
Oh, it's several hundred feet.
And I mean, were the mountains very steep, or were they? What sort of angle were the slopes? Do you know?
No, at that particular place, there wasn't all that steep. All very rocky though.
No vegetation.
No vegetation, or very little.
Was there any attempt to interfere with you?
No, as it happened, not.
No attacks.
No, we had no attacks at all. But incidentally, I will mention another thing. The regiment that took over from us afterwards did the same thing, and the first night they camped, the RSM, by the way, had a tent.
Yes.
And he had his tent there, with a lamp, old lamp in there, and he was writing his orders for the next day or whatever he was doing. He got killed.
How was he killed?
Rifle shot.
Just sniped?
Yes. Yeah. See, so they were there watching. Yeah. He didn't pull his tent flaps down.
Sounds like a very foolish lack of precautions.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it shows that the precautions we took did pay off. Yeah. All the way along there.
Was there any sort of road or track you could use?
Yes, in actual fact, there was, going into Razmak, there was a tarmac road, not in very good condition, but it was a road.
Well, going up through the hills?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How would you actually be formed when you were marching along in the, you know, in the battalion? You'd have your pickets out. How many men would you send up onto the sides of the...
Well, the... there must have been at least three pickets in front of us on either side.
Yes.
With about six men in them, right, in each picket.
That sounds like a platoon job, really,
yes,
doesn't it? Yes. And the rest of the battalion, how would they be formed up to move?
There was marching companies with a spacing in between each company.
And would that be in column of four or in column of three? Or?
In those days, column of four.
Column of four.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's close order,
yes,
in
close
the companies.
Order.
So you'd have, and how many companies would you have? Four in the battalion at that time?
Five.
Five. Mm. Four rifle companies.
Yes, and
then
the
headquarters company
with the band and bugles, though we wasn't playing.
So you were attached to headquarters company,
yes,
for this purpose. Mm. Would they be, where would they be in the column? Would they be at the front or at the back?
Well, sometimes we would put in different order. We never went to the lead company, because
yes,
it was different lead company was each day who formed the pickets.
They were the rifle companies.
The rifle companies, yes.
Yeah.
So we never were in the lead company.
Mm. And where was the baggage? Was that back with you, or the baggage?
The baggage had gone ahead.
Oh, I see. Mm. So you were just moving on your own?
On our own, yes.
What about food? You know, how was the food prepared on this march?
Very basic. Mostly, you was given a packet of biscuits, a tin of bully beef, and that lasts you during the day.
And did you do your own cooking, or did you have company kitchens?
No, it was always by company, and then there would be only stew at the end of the day.
Right. Nothing in the morning?
Yes, it would be in the morning.
Yeah. What did they give you in the morning?
Mostly just porridge.
Porridge?
Porridge and bread and jam, probably.
Right.
Nothing
and
else.
Was that, I mean, did you have, I mean, how was it served out? Did you just queue up with mess tins?
Just queued up and had it where he was.
All right. How did you go on with getting water on this march?
Well, there was always, there was a water cart.
Right.
We had mules, by the way. They carried a certain amount of... we had a mule platoon.
Yes.
Run by Indians, by the way. There was each regiment in India had one of those, by the way.
Yes.
And they also had carts to carry, and they did carry a certain amount of baggage with them, and water.
How many mules would there be in that platoon?
Oh, there must have been about 20 mules.
How much would you be carrying yourself on this movement on foot?
We would be carrying our a pack in those days with a change of clothing, socks, and your blanket, and your rifle.
Ammunition?
Yes, we all carried ammunition. We didn't have very much. I think about 20 rounds a man.
Yeah. Not a full issue.
No, about 20 rounds.
And on this, you say this march went on for about 6 days before you got to Razmak. Did you have any trouble with people suffering injury or anything on this march?
No, I think probably some of them got sore feet.
Yes.
And that was nothing. Nobody fell out or anything like that. Yeah. The battalion was pretty fit.
Yeah. How about your feet? How did you get on?
I was all right. Yeah. I mean, in fact, later on, when the battalion had to go out on what they call columns,
yes.
We went out with the Gurkhas,
yes.
who were known for this type of country, and we did as good as what they did.
That's good. So tell me about Razmak when you got there.
Razmak. A very large camp. Once again, got this perimeter wall around it.
Yeah.
Up to about chin high this time, yes. A bit higher. More substantially made as well. Single-story brick-built buildings as barrack blocks. Very much the same as what the order shop was again.
Yes.
Several regiments there. We was the only English infantry battalion. There were several regiments of Indians and Gurkhas. There was engineers, what they call sappers and miners. There was also a section of signalers, brigade signalers that they were then, besides their own. No artillery. And there was I wish I could only know who published it. It was a sort of a pictorial magazine. It was printed in England about that time. And there was an article there about Razmak. And it was called The Largest Monastery in the World. 10,000 men and no women.
No women at all?
No women at all. So there were no married families or anything like that there.
How long were you at Razmak?
12 months. Just
what, was there a town there?
No town at all. There was a small shop of bazaars there run by Indians. Probably the cleanest bazaar you've ever seen in India, because it was made to be clean.
And they were just there to serve the camp, were they?
Yeah, it's just a few bits and pieces. There was a cinema there, which was an improvement of the one we had in Brayley.
Why was that?
Well, it was a proper built building, and it was more the films are more up to date, and it was made by the suppers and miners are like Indian engineers.
Yes,
I used to call them that, suppers and miners.
What was the country like around this camp?
Well, where the camp was itself, we was like surrounded by a mountain. We was in like a plateau there.
Yes.
Quite large. And there was also an emergency flying field there. It was never used while we was there.
You didn't see any aircraft then?
No. There was the odd time you see an old biplane pass over and went away again. Very rarely. But I suppose it was only an emergency if somebody was in trouble, had to come down.
An emergency strip.
And it was pretty stony as well.
Yeah.